Welcome to another chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, where we give you a deeper look into your favorite Christian authors and the inspirations, research, and methodology that goes into writing the books you love to read. Here's your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Welcome to the latest chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn. This chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast is brought to you by Revell, a division of Baker Publishing Group. Revell offers practical books that bring Christian faith into everyday life. Whether through Christian fiction, Christian living, self-help, marriage, family, or youth books, each Revell publication reflects relevance, integrity, and excellence. You.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well today. So I want to hear about your latest book, Lights Out. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. So Lights Out, I'm looking at my book here as if I need like support. Support. What are you about? It's about an agency. It's a private agency in Washington, D.C. called the Strategic Neutralization and Protection Agency, shortened to SNAP. And they take care of situations before they become situations. And in this particular story, which is the first in the series, I have a CIA analyst, Bryn Taylor, who has invited foreign intelligence officers to the United States to do a sort of cooperation global terrorism symposium. And during the time that these foreign spies basically are in the United States, one of them goes missing. And because the CIA has restrictions on working within the United States, they end up getting partnered with the SNAP agency. And it just happens that the team leader who will be taking on her assignment is an ex-boyfriend that she was training with in the CIA with. So there's some romantic tension there. And then there's lots of suspenseful tension in there. But basically, it's Jack Hudson and Bryn Taylor working to find this this missing spy before something happens in the world.
Is SNAP a real agency within the CIA?
It is not. No, okay. it's a private agency that my husband and I'd always wanted to do something like this, and my husband and I were driving somewhere. It was a long drive, and we were coming up with names for like what the agency could be. And my husband's military, so he's worked with a lot of different agencies and within the government. And so we'd be like, okay, it's the Strategic Neutralization and Protection Agency. They neutralize threats and protect the United States. So it worked out perfectly.
And it came up with a great title.
Yeah.
You said that the SNAP series is going to be actually a series of books, of course, but how many do you think are going to be in that?
So the series is a collection of three full-length novels. And then I also wrote a novella that introduces readers to the team and to the director behind the agency. And so it's actually three full-length novels and one novella.
Okay. I would love to hear where the inspiration for the plot came from.
Well, this is probably one of my funnest, I don't know, funnest is not probably the right word.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a word. one of the more fun questions about the story. My husband and I, he's military. He's been in the military for 27 years, and we've traveled all over the world and in the United States. And we've made friends with people in different agencies and organizations. Mm-hmm. And it just happened. We invited one of our dear friends over for dinner, and he started talking about, and he's with an agency, not the CIA, but he's with another agency. And he was talking about how they had invited some basically foreign counterparts to the United States, and one of them just disappeared. And so they had to go searching for this person, and they ended up finding the person and then sending him back to his country. But I was like, oh, what if it was what if he didn't find them? What if he, this particular gentleman, he went shopping. So he wanted to go shopping. That was his big thing for his family, which is, something that I know a lot of foreigners like to do when they come to the US. So he was shopping, and he was completely innocent in what he was attempting to do. But I was thinking what if it wasn't all innocent. And so that's sort of where the catalyst of this particular story came from. I was like, okay, what if there was a more sinister reason for the disappearance? And so then it just started to spin into different ideas for the plot.
Oh, I love how it's kind of based on a true story. That's
interesting.
Now, how do you do research for the CIA? I mean, I know it's not something that's really easily available to, say, this, you know, just a normal person in the public.
Yeah. So, you know, I really believe that God kind of puts people in our lives the way we're like, you know, for purposes and reasons. And it's never failed to surprise me when I've got an idea in my mind and I'm thinking like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to make this work. And then I'll do some sort of a Google search and something will pop up and I'm like, this is it. Like, this is exactly what I needed. So interestingly enough, my path crossed with a former CIA operative and I was like, hey, can you like help me? And he's like, I can't like, you know, technically consult with you, but right. if you ask me questions in a way that I can, you know, answer, then yes. So if anybody was to read like our exchanges or hear our conversations, I have to be very like cognitive of like, okay, what am I saying? What can I say? But mm-hmm. I've been able to kind of ask him like, hey, could this happen? Is this something that's possible? And then he kind of steers me in the right direction. And so a lot of what I was able to put into my story came from authentic and genuine conversations with this gentleman that I've fictionalized a little bit. I've taken some liberties there, but you know, anything that's like completely wrong is totally on me, not on him, but it's been helpful that I've had a connection, but that was, I think, a totally God ordained, you know, meetup and we're really good friends.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, Bryn Taylor, you said, is your female protagonist, and she's someone who you've described as needing to always be in control and knowing what the situation is going to bring. And in this book, she's having to learn to let go and to trust. What kind of example do you think the reader should take from Bryn?
So for me, I know I've had a couple of readers comment that like Bryn wasn't like right away likable. And I totally get that because she's so focused on her job. But it is a sense of control for her. She mm-hmm. feels like if she can control situations, she can't be surprised or hurt by anything. And, you know, when readers read her background and her backstory, they can kind of see like why and how she came to be that that way. And I think ultimately for me, it's something that even as I was writing the story, it's something that I struggle with personally. Like if I can control, you know, if I'm driving, then I control if there's I can control the accident, right? If somebody else is, yeah, I'm going to be like, that was your fault. You should have done this, this, and this. And, but it goes back to, I think, trust and being able to know like, okay, if I trust my husband to drive, like I trust that he loves us and he's not going to try to put us in any harm's way, which he's actually a very good driver, better than me. Then I should be able to release that control to him. And I think that goes, you know, that's one of the things I hope readers see is that like once Bryn starts to release that control, she can actually be a better, you know, she can do her job, you know, better. She's a better human being. She's, you know, she's able to live a little bit more and have balance in her life. Mm-hmm. And it just, I think really reflects, I think it's one of those things that go hand in hand, control and trust. You know, you've got to be able to release the control, but in order to do that, you have to be able to trust and having that background.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned that a former love from her past is introduced in the story, Jack Hudson. Can you tell us a little bit more without giving the story away?
I can give probably a little bit more. So Jack and Bryn actually met in training at the CIA. So when officers are in the CIA, either coming into the agency or they've already been working for the agency, they can train for clandestine operations, which sends them overseas for more of like what you see on like television and movies. Mm-hmm. And so they were in training together. And one of the things that even my source has told me is that the agency really makes you decide, are you going to have a family or are you going to be focused on the agency? Yeah. Because at some point you're going to make a decision. And it's kind of like the military too. Like, you know, military, you have to, you know, you have your duty to the country and to your service, but you also have a family. And so during the process of training, the leadership within the agency likes to push the agents' buttons, just like they would be challenged out in the real world. And the staff that's training Jack and Bryn find out about their relationship and decide to put them to the test and make them go through a mission where they have to decide. And based off that decision, that's the catalyst that like, you know, forces Bryn and Jack to make a decision about their relationship and what they want in their lives.
Okay.
So that's the best I think I can say without giving it away.
That's good though. It was really good. Now, is there something that you want the reader to take away from this book when they finished?
I think one of the things that gets kind of goes back to like what we talked about with like control and trust. I think that especially in this current day and age, there's so much going on that's beyond our control, and we can get anxious and we can worry and we can be stressed. And I think if we go back to like remembering who God is and who God says he is, then we can live in the freedom of not being in control, of not being worried and stressed and anxious, because we're trusting that everything is in his control and everything is going to work out in the end because he's victorious, right? So I think ultimately what I hope people come out of this story with is that they are reminded that God is sovereign in his control over all of the things that can happen in our lives. And when we trust him to make sure that things are taken care of, that we can be assured that they will be.
Well, I am very excited to see what happens with Lights Out and the entire Snap series for you. And Natalie, I can't wait to see what God has in store for you next.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Good. So everybody, you can buy this book wherever you buy your books. Hopefully it's a local bookstore that you're supporting, but you can buy them anywhere, right?
Yes, anywhere.
So if you like this chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf podcast, make sure to click the button below for the latest chapter notes so you never miss another chapter. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Thanks for listening to Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. Stay up to date on all things Christian fiction at familyfiction.com. Christian Fiction Bookshelf is produced by Ross Kluver, hosted by Jamie Vaughn, and edited by Brandon Woolham. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss a chapter.